Preface. In the making of a film about a Mexican village, we were faced with many problems, some of which were foreseen and some of which were met and overcome in the field while the picture was in production. A great many documentary films have used the generalized method, that is, the showing of a condition or an event as it affects a group of people. The audience can then have a personalized reaction from imagining one member of that group. I have felt that this is the more difficult observation from the audience's viewpoint. It means very little to know that a million Chinese are starving unless you know one Chinese who is starving. In The Forgotten Village, we reversed the usual process. Our story centered on one family in one small village. We wished our audience to know this family very well, and incidentally to like it, as we did. Then, from association with this little personalized group, the larger conclusion concerning the racial group could be drawn with something like participation. Birth and death, joy and sorrow, are constants, experiences common to the whole species. If one participates first in these constants, one is able to go from them to the variables of customs, practices, mores, taboos, and foreign social patterns. That, at any rate, was our theory and the pattern in which we worked. The working method was very simple and yet required great patience. A very elastic story was written. Then the crew moved into the village, made friends, talked, and listened. The story was simple. Too many children die. Why is that and what is done about it, both by the villagers and by the government? The story actually was a question. What we found was dramatic. The clash of a medicine and magic that was old when the Aztecs invaded the plateau with a modern medicine that is as young as a living man. To tell this story, we had only to have people reenact what had happened to them. Our curandera was a real wise woman, one who practiced herbology and magic in the village. Our teacher was a real teacher in the government school. Our doctors, real doctors. Our mother, a real mother, who had lost a number of children. If they moved through scenes with sureness and authority, it was because they had been through them many times before, when no cameras were there. Such a method requires, above all else, patience, tact, and genuine liking for the people. The last we had, but we were not always successful in the first two. Mistakes were made, feuds started, quarrels precipitated, which had to be settled and quenched with more patience and tact. The villagers themselves were handsome and courteous and friendly. They had great dignity and flair, and they were very poor, unbelievably poor. They lived in a social-religious frame which was part Aztec, part 16th-century Spanish Catholic, and part the thrusting toward social betterment which has been Mexico's drive for the past 50 years. We did not editorialize, attack, or defend anything. We put on film what we found, only arranging it to make a coherent story. The most difficult problem of all was the method of telling the story to an American audience. Sound recorded on the scene was impracticable. The village was inaccessible to sound equipment. Dialogue was out of the question, even in Spanish, since many of the older people spoke little Spanish. They used the Indian language of their ancestors. The usual narrative method did not seem quite adequate. It was decided finally to use the method of the old storyteller, a voice which interpolated dialogue without trying to imitate it. A very quiet voice to carry the story only when the picture and the music could not carry it. And above all, a spoken story so natural and unobtrusive that an audience would not even be conscious of it. Such were the methods employed in making The Forgotten Village. A curious and true and dramatic film has been the result. John Steinbeck. The Forgotten Village. Among the tall mountains of Mexico, the ancient life goes on.